Good morning and welcome to our podcast. My name is David Pritchard and I'm the head of marketing here at Sintons. I'm joined today by my colleague Karen Sims, who is a specialist healthcare lawyer here at Sintons and also partner and head of the corporate and commercial team at Sintons. Our podcast today is episode 2 of our Top Tips for Dentists podcast series, and Karen is going to concentrate on selling your dental practice from a commercial point of view. So without any further ado, straight over to Karen. Karen, good morning and over to you.
Thank you, David, for that introduction and welcome to the second in our series of podcasts, Selling Your Dental Practice. My name is Karen Sims and I'm a partner in the healthcare team here at Sintons. Alongside Amanda Mascari and our colleagues in the healthcare team, we provide specialist advice to dentists buying and selling dental practices and also to banks lending money to buy them. Today, I will be looking at some of the top tips for selling your practice from a commercial law perspective and what to expect from the process so you can prepare in advance and minimise your risks. One of the questions I often get asked by dentists selling their practice is, how long will it take? The short answer is anything from 6 weeks to 2 years, depending if you are a solely private practice, a solely NHS practice, or a mixed practice. And in the latter example, whether a pandemic intervenes. But almost without exception, the more you can plan and prepare in advance, the smoother the transaction will progress and the less likelihood of delays on your part. So similar to Fiona, my first tip is preparation. Ideally, before you've even found a buyer, get all of your documentation complete, up to date and in order. Because one of the first steps that the buyer solicitor will undertake is a detailed investigation into your practice. You may have heard Fiona refer to this as due diligence. And please don't underestimate the extent of this exercise. It is usually very detailed, and if you are not prepared, it can cause significant delays. The buyer's solicitor will want to know in great detail all about your GDS contract, your patient plans, any breach notices, whether you are performing the contracted number of UDAs, details of any abatements, all about your commercial contracts, your patients, health and safety, any complaints, any CQC inspections, your accounts, and state of and condition of your assets. In other words, anything and everything related to your practice, so the buyer can assess what they are buying and make a final decision whether to proceed. If the buyer is using bank borrowings to fund the purchase, their bank will also need to be satisfied with the information that you provide, or they won't lend. My second tip is to be mindful of protecting your goodwill. As we have seen, you will be required to provide a huge amount of detailed information about your practice. However, until contracts are exchanged and the sale completes, the buyer can withdraw from negotiations at any time. Mindful of this, we would always advise you to ask the buyer to sign a confidentiality agreement, agreeing to keep all of your information confidential, to only use that information to assess whether to proceed with the purchase, to return or destroy the information if the sale does not complete, and to provide you with restrictive covenants, agreeing not to poach your key members of staff or patients. We do know of some awful examples of transactions we weren't involved with, where a buyer has gone into a practice, talked to all of the staff, taken copies of all the patient lists, and then not proceeded to buy the practice. Unsurprisingly, in that example, shortly after the buyer withdrawing from the purchase, they set up in competition with the seller down the road, and the seller's staff appeared at the buyer's new practice shortly after that. Even with a signed confidentiality agreement in place, we would always advise you to consider if there is any particularly sensitive information, such as your patient lists, that it would be prudent to not provide until a day of completion, because you would not want them to fall into the hands of the buyer if for any reason the sale does not go ahead. Naturally, many sellers do not want to tell their staff too early on in the process that they are selling their practice, for fear it will unsettle their staff, and they may lose them if the sale does not go ahead. Some sellers take one member of staff into their confidence, often their practice manager, if they will need help in gathering together all of the information needed to answer the buyer's due diligence questions. It is important to stress to such person the importance of them keeping the potential seller confidential and not discussing it with anyone else. We would also advise you to include a provision in your confidentiality agreement, obliging the buyer to only discuss any matter relating to the sale with you or us, and not to talk to the CQC or your NHS local area team, or if you have one, your landlord, about the sale or your practice without first discussing it with you. Your signed confidentiality agreement needs to be in place before you provide any information to the buyer. My next tip is to be careful about what you sign. It is not uncommon for sellers to be asked to sign heads of terms before they speak to their solicitor. Please be wary of this. Although heads of terms are not usually legally binding in their entirety, they can include clauses that are legally binding, including obligations on you to pay the buyer's costs in certain circumstances and exclusivity provisions. If you agree to pay the buyer's costs, we would advise you put a maximum cap on this and be very specific about the circumstances when you will pay, and to consider if you want the buyer to pay your costs in certain circumstances. If you agree to exclusivity, we would advise you to limit this to a sensible length of time and be able to terminate exclusivity if the buyer fails to secure funding or fails to progress the transaction in a timely manner. My fourth tip is start your CQC process as soon as possible and make sure you follow the correct one, including making sure you and the buyer obtain a CQC countersigned DBS check if one is required. As part of your advanced planning and preparation, make sure your CQC registration is as it should be and ties in with the providers named on your GDS contract. We have inherited several dental clients from other firms where a previous seller's name remains in the CQ registration as a partner or on the GDS contract, and this can cause issues and delays. Even before the pandemic, the CQC process was one of the biggest causes for delay, and it is critical that you start it early and follow the right process. My next tip is really just common sense. Ask questions. At Sintons, we believe that there is no such thing as a stupid question. If there is anything at all that you are not sure about, ask us. We will always give you a considered answer. You won't be surprised to hear that my last two tips also relate to planning. Make sure your contracts are up to date and none of them have expired. And if they are nearing their expiry date, for example, our insurance policies, make sure you diarise to provide us with updated copies to provide to the buyer as part of due diligence. If you owe any money on any of your assets, please make sure you know how much and what you need to do to settle it, and consider if there are any assets that won't be included in the sale. This might be something like personal photographs or something like a card machine that you don't own because the card machine provider owns it. And finally, try and plan your time in advance. When and who will collate all of the information and documents you need? When will you be available to go through it all? To go through all of the transaction documents with us? Generally speaking, there will be a sale agreement, a disclosure letter, a partnership deed, a deed of retirement, 2P notices, if you're staying on after completion, possibly an associate agreement, and all the property documents to go through and make sure you understand what you are signing and that you are happy with. We appreciate that many of you will still have practices to run and patients to see, and so it is not unusual for us to speak to you outside practice hours. And if you have any holidays planned, tell us about them so we can build them into the completion timetable to avoid any delays. In summary, planning is key. Prepare your documents and information in advance. Protect your goodwill with a signed confidentiality agreement before you provide the buyer any information, and think about any information you do not want to provide too early on in the process. Be careful about what you sign and take advice on any heads of terms and exclusivity agreement before you sign them. Make sure you start the CQC process early and follow the right procedure. Ask questions and plan. Following these tips will help reduce delays that are within your control. Thank you for listening. I hope you found it helpful. I'll now hand you back to David, who will provide you with further information on how to contact us and about the next in our series of dental podcasts. Thank you.
Thanks, Karen. Just a quick reminder from me, we release our webinars, podcasts and blogs on a regular basis, all of which can be found on our website, www.sintons.co.uk, should you wish to take a look. And you can also follow the healthcare team on Twitter at SintonsHC. As I mentioned last time with the podcast from Fiona, if you'd like to discuss anything Karen's raised today further, please don't hesitate to get in touch with her or a member of the team. Very quickly, contact details for Karen, 0191 226 7878, or via email, karen.sims@sintons.co.uk. Episode 3 will be with you in about 2 weeks' time, and this will be with my colleague Victoria Armstrong, who specialises in commercial real estate, and she will be discussing selling your dental practice from a real estate point of view, from a commercial property point of view. Thank you once again for listening. We do appreciate it. We don't take it for granted. We're glad these sessions are adding value to you, and we look forward to seeing you for episode 3. Stay safe, everyone. Thank you.